Scripture Stories is a program for you, the children. As you listen, remember that these stories are about real people who lived long ago. Read along with us. You'll find these stories in the New Testament Stories book, published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have your mother, father, teacher, or a friend help you find the story, and invite them to read along and sing the songs with you, too. Last week we talked about Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. One day, Saul was walking to the city of Damascus with some friends. He wanted to put some of Christ's disciples in prison. Suddenly, a bright light from heaven surrounded him. He fell to the ground. Then Saul heard the voice of Jesus asking him why he was trying to hurt the saints. Saul was afraid. He asked Jesus what he should do. The Savior said Saul should go to Damascus. There, Saul would be told what he needed to do. Saul opened his eyes, but he could not see. He was blind. His friends took him to Damascus. A disciple of Jesus Christ named Ananias lived in Damascus. In a vision, Jesus told Ananias to go to Saul. Ananias had the priesthood. He put his hands on Saul's head and blessed him that Saul's sight would come back. After being healed, Saul was baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Saul changed his name to Paul. He was called to be an apostle. He became a missionary for the church. He wrote many letters. He went to many lands and taught the gospel. We also talked about a good woman named Tabitha who lived in the city of Joppa. She was a follower of Jesus Christ. She helped many people and did many good things. She became sick and died. Her friends sent for Peter. When he got there, he asked Tabitha's friends to leave the room. Peter knelt and prayed. He told Tabitha to stand. She opened her eyes and sat up. Peter helped her stand. He called her friends. They came and saw that she was alive. Peter had used the power of the priesthood to bring Tabitha back to life. Many people in Joppa believed in Jesus Christ when they learned of Tabitha's return to life. Children, I want to begin by asking a question. How can you tell when something is good? Haley, how can you tell?
Because I have a good feeling about it.
Right. Anyone else have any other ideas about that? Rachel?
That the warm feeling is the Spirit comforting
us.
Right. So you have a nice, warm feeling. You know that something is good. Let's do an example, Madeline. For example, when you're at church, how can you tell that the things you are hearing are true and good? Kind of like what we've already said, right? But go ahead, Rachel. How can you tell?
That's because it feels good. And
feels
you
good.
Have a feeling that it's true.
Right. It's a feeling inside, isn't it? I love that. In the scriptures that we're going to be talking about here, what happens? Jesus is there, right? 1 minute, and then he dies, and he's the person you always look toward. How would that make you feel?
Very sad.
Right, so your leader has just died. Madeline, how would that make you feel? Who would you turn to?
This apostle.
Okay, so you'd turn to, like, somebody who knew Jesus. Go ahead.
The eldest apostle was the person who had been the apostle the longest and would be, most of the time, be the next prophet, which was Peter.
Okay, great. So you would look to the people who surrounded Jesus, right? And always had followed him as leaders. Well, after Jesus died, many people claimed that they were the true leaders of the church, even though they were not called by God. How do you think the people could tell who were the true apostles of Jesus? With all those people around saying that they were the true apostles, how could the people tell? Reagan?
The Holy Ghost.
What did the Holy Ghost do? What would he do?
It would give them a warm feeling and let them know that they weren't the true leaders.
Right, and they would let the people know that the true leaders, who they were, right? Is that what you think would happen? I think you're right. Today we're going to talk about the mission of the Apostle Paul. We will see that he performed some of the same miracles that Jesus did during his life. He and Silas followed the example of the Savior, showing everyone that they were true representatives of Jesus. Children at home, turn to chapter 61, Paul and Silas in prison, on page 158, and follow along as we read aloud.
A girl had an evil spirit in her. People liked to hear what the evil spirit said through her. They paid the men she worked for to hear the evil spirit speak.
Whenever Paul and Silas walked by, the girl followed them. As she did, the evil spirit spoke. One day, Paul commanded the evil spirit to leave her. It did.
The men she worked for were angry. Now they could not make money. The men took Paul and Silas to the leaders of their city. They said that Paul and Silas had been causing trouble.
The leaders had Paul and Silas whipped and put in prison. That night, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns to Heavenly Father. Everyone in the prison heard them. Suddenly, the ground began to shake. The prison doors opened. The guard woke up and saw the open doors.
He thought the prisoners had escaped. Paul told the guard not to worry. The prisoners were all still there. The guard knelt by Paul and Silas and asked how he could be saved.
Paul and Silas taught the guard and his family the gospel. That night, the guard and his family were baptized.
The next day, the city leaders set Paul and Silas free. Paul and Silas went to another city to do more missionary work.
Wow, that was such a great story. I loved that. Why did people pay money in the story to hear the girl speak? Riley.
To hear the evil spirit.
Right. She had an evil spirit in her. And people liked to see that and hear it, right? They thought it was so weird and odd, didn't they? So what did the girl do every time she saw Paul and Silas? Haley?
Followed them and the evil spirit talked to them.
All right, so she followed them everywhere, didn't she? Yep, she did. So when Paul commanded the evil spirit to leave the girl, what happened then? Reagan?
It left.
It just left. Why do you think that was? Why do you think it left, Madeline?
Because the priesthood and maybe the Holy Ghost just made him go out.
That's probably true. You're exactly right. How did the men feel about what Paul had done? Rachel.
They wanted Paul and Silas punished.
Why?
Because they made the evil spirit. because it made them mad and the evil spirit left the girl.
And so if it made him mad and the girl wasn't speaking with the evil spirit anymore, what happened to the men? What couldn't they make?
They couldn't make any money.
That's right. So they were very angry. So where did the men take Paul and Silas? Reagan.
To the city leaders.
To the city leaders, right. And what did the men tell the leaders Paul and Silas were doing? Riley?
Making trouble.
They were making trouble. Were they making trouble?
No.
No.
No, they really weren't making trouble, but that's what he told them, right? And they told them that they were making trouble. Where did the wicked people want to take them?
To prison.
Right, to prison. Ugh, scary, huh? How do you think it would feel to be accused of something that you did not do? Haley?
Sad.
Really sad? Why would it make you feel sad? I want you to think about this, about how it would feel if somebody said that you did something that you really didn't do. That's happened to me before. How would that make you feel, Rachel?
Frustrating.
Oh, yep, very frustrating. What about you, Riley? How would you feel?
Mad.
Yeah, mad. That's how I would feel, too. And you'd want to just shake them and say, I didn't do it. It's not true, no, right? How were Paul and Silas treated when they were in prison? How, Haley?
Badly.
Very badly. What did they do to them while they were in prison? Riley?
Whipped them.
So they treated them badly. They whipped them. Would you like to have had that happen to you?
No.
Especially when you knew that you were innocent, right? You were in there and all the things they said about you were not true. What were Paul and Silas doing in prison when the ground suddenly began to shake? What were they doing, Madeline?
They were singing and praying.
Yes, they were. Wow. Yet we said we were going to be kind of mad and kind of frustrated and sad. They were praying and singing. That's kind of amazing to me. Do you think that's pretty amazing, Reagan? It is. So who were Paul and Silas singing hymns to? Just themselves? Haley.
Heavenly Father.
Right. Anybody else? Who else were they singing them to?
Jesus Christ.
Right. They were singing praises, right, to the Lord and to Heavenly Father. When the guard woke up, what did he think happened to the prisoners?
They escaped.
That's right. Why did he think that the prisoners escaped?
Because the doors were open.
Right. The doors were open. Paul told the guard not to worry. He said that all the prisoners were still there. What did the guard ask Paul and Silas? A very important question. Riley?
To teach them.
Teach them what?
The gospel.
Right, to teach them the gospel. Who taught the guard and his family about the gospel? Do you know, Haley? Who did?
Paul and Silas.
Right, they did. And I think it's great that the guard asked them, right? He had a desire to listen. Why do you think the guard and his family wanted to be baptized? Madeline?
The Holy Ghost.
And what did the Holy Ghost tell them in their hearts?
That what they told him was true.
Right. And the Holy Ghost spoke to them, didn't he? Told them that. The city leader said that Paul and Silas were free to go. Where did Paul and Silas go when they left the city? Riley?
To another city.
And why did they go to another city? Rachel?
To preach more about the gospel.
Right. They were such great missionaries, weren't they? So they were leaving to go to another city to preach.
I want to be a missionary now. I don't want to wait until I'm grown. I want to share the gospel while I'm young, for I have a testimony of my own. I want to tell my friends about our church.
it brings to me. I'll tell them how the gospel was restored. Tell them how the Book of Mormon came to be. Then I can be a missionary now. I don't have to wait until I'm grown. I'll live each day the best that I know how, and they'll see I have a testimony of my own. A testimony of my very own.
If you're just joining us, welcome to Scripture Stories, presented by the Mormon Channel. We have been talking more about the mission of the Apostle Paul. Turn with us to chapter 62, Paul Obeys the Holy Ghost, on page 161, as we learn more about Paul's obedience in following the instructions of the Spirit.
The Holy Ghost told the Apostle Paul to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost said that Paul would be put in prison.
Paul was not afraid. He loved the Savior and did what the Holy Ghost had told him to do. Paul said goodbye to his friends. He said he would never see them again.
He told them to live the gospel and obey God's commandments. Paul warned them not to listen to the people who would try to teach them things that are not true.
Paul told them to love and take care of each other. He knelt and prayed with them. Everyone cried. They went with him to the boat and watched Paul leave for Jerusalem.
Who told Paul to go to Jerusalem? Madeline?
The Holy Ghost.
That's right. The Holy Ghost did. What did the Holy Ghost say would happen to Paul when he got to Jerusalem? Madeline?
That he would be thrown in jail.
Whoa, would you go? If you knew that you'd be thrown in jail?
No.
That is really lots of faith, isn't it? How did Paul feel about what was going to happen to him? Haley?
He was not afraid.
I know. Can you believe that? Would you be afraid?
No.
You wouldn't? I am so impressed. I believe you. Would anybody else be afraid? Would anybody else?
I'd probably be afraid.
Me too.
I'd be afraid because if I was Paul, I'd think of the last time I was in prison and what they did to me.
Exactly. Why do you think Paul did what the Holy Ghost told him to do? Why do you think, Riley?
He loved them.
He loved the Holy Ghost and he loved the Lord, didn't he? What did Paul tell his friends after he said goodbye to them? He said lots of things, didn't he? Some really neat things. What's one thing he said? Reagan?
He wouldn't see them again.
Right. He said that. That would make me sad. What about you? He wouldn't see them again. What else did he tell them? Rachel?
Not to listen to the people who taught the wrong thing.
Great. That's great advice, isn't it? What else? Riley?
To live the gospel.
Right. He said one more thing that really, really kind of touched my heart this time. What else did he tell them to do? Rachel, can you remember?
To keep the commandments.
Right, and that's what they said. Remember when you read that very first thing, he told them to do something.
Take care of each other.
So to love and take care of each other. I love that part. How do you think his friends felt when Paul told them that he would never see them again? Put yourself in that situation. How do you think his friends felt, Haley?
They were sad and cried.
Yes. Would you have cried? That would be sad, wouldn't it? Rachel?
Maybe disappointed that they wouldn't see him.
Right. Do you think maybe even they felt a little bit scared? Because he was the leader, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'd be a little bit worried maybe about who was going to take over and how the church was going to keep going. What did Paul tell his friends to beware of? He told them all those good things to do, but actually, we said one of the things. What did he say? What did he tell them, Riley?
To not listen to the people that were teaching the wrong thing.
Right. Exactly. Not to listen to the people who are teaching the wrong thing. Why do you think that would be important, Madeline? Why shouldn't we listen to anyone who's teaching the wrong thing?
Because it's not right.
It's not right. What could happen to you if you did that? If you listen and obey the wrong things?
You could let go of the rod of iron.
You could let go of the rod of iron. Iron rod. What about you, Reagan?
By making sure we listen to the Holy Ghost.
Exactly. I love that. How else can we be protected? Listen to the Holy Ghost. What are some other things that can help protect us? Haley.
Maybe pray for help.
Oh, I love that. Of course we can pray for help. Rachel.
You can also listen to your parents.
Right. Parents love you so much and they want to tell you what you need to do. Okay? So that you can always choose the right. Why do you think they decided to pray together? Haley?
For comfort.
For comfort. Why did they need comfort?
So they wouldn't be alone.
Alone. Great. And maybe so they wouldn't be quite so sad, right? Because Paul said he wouldn't see them again. Why do you think it is important for us to pray with our family and friends? Because that's what he did, right? They were his friends. Why is it important to pray with our family and friends, Rachel?
For comfort and to show support.
It shows support, right? Have you ever been kneeling in your family prayer and have a brother or sister pray for you? To say your name in the prayer? How does that make you feel? How does it make you feel, Haley?
Happy.
Makes you feel happy, right?
Makes me feel awesome.
Awesome. Great.
It makes me feel loved.
Right. Exactly. During his missions, Paul performed many mighty miracles, but never lost sight of his true purpose. In a letter he wrote to his young friend named Timothy, Paul said, "I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ." Even though he did many wonderful things during his missions, he never lost sight of his purpose to help other people come to know Jesus better. In all that we do, we need to make sure that our lives are spent serving and loving others as well. If we are righteous and willing like Paul, other people will feel closer to the Savior because of our actions. We've learned so much. I hope we'll all thank Heavenly Father in our prayers for all He has taught us. And I hope we'll keep talking about the things we've learned with our families and other people we love. Next week, we'll read chapter 63. Paul finishes his mission.
See you next week.